I want to speak from Genesis chapter 24, but I want to make some introductory remarks before we read it. Generally, I don't like to do that. God's word is more important than anything I could possibly have to say here this afternoon. And God's word should be given the first place. But I just want to make a few introductory remarks in this way. No human mind could have arranged the chapters in Genesis 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25 as they're arranged in such a marvelous way to set before us in a picture New Testament truth. 21st chapter gives us the birth of Isaac, the son of promise. In the 22nd chapter, that son of promise is offered up as a burnt offering. In the 23rd chapter, we have the death of Sarah. I believe it pictures Israel being set aside. The death of Sarah. In the 24th chapter, which is the one we want to read this afternoon, we have the call of the bride. But it follows on the setting aside of Israel. In the 25th chapter, we have Abraham taking another wife, which I believe would picture for us the taking up once again of Israel by the Lord in that coming day after this church period. Now I ask you, is there any possible way that any human mind could have taken historical events and put them together in such a way as to present such a beautiful picture of God's doings in that way in regard to Israel and his beloved son, the calling of the bride, and taking up of Israel once again? I don't know what you think, but I think there's no way that any human mind could have put that together in such a way. But there it is. And we see it. And we worship and adore when we see it. It's so beautiful. Genesis 24 and verse 1. I just want to say this before I read this chapter, another little preamble. You know, there is such a thing as washed pigs in Scripture. And they're not the same as sheep. They're mentioned in the Scripture very solemnly. The washed sow is returned unto its wallowing in the mire, and the dog to its vomit. Unclean animals, neither one of which has ever had any work of God in them at all. And that's a different thing from a sheep of Christ, isn't it? And the only reason I mention that is that I feel that sometimes we're not faithful. I often mention this to the fellows in the jail back home, that there are people who are touched by the gospel and they make a profession, and in a certain sense they're delivered from pollution, but there's no work in their souls. And all they are is washed pigs. And when the opportunity comes, they throw everything aside and right back into the mire from which they were washed. It's a very solemn thing. Very solemn thing. I just mentioned that because I think we're not faithful sometimes in setting that out. There is a tendency when we're brought up in the meetings and we sit under good ministry, we may delude ourselves into thinking we're sheep when all we are is really washed pigs. God help us that if there is a washed pig here this afternoon, that he might come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and be truly a sheep of Christ. I just had that on my heart to say. Genesis 24, verse 1. It's a long chapter, but I hope to move rapidly through it. Chapter we know very well. We rejoice in it. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. The servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, which was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, of the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made the journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, which hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban, and Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. Thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. And then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God, of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out of my master's for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which hath led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now if he will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go unto my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and their nurse, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those that hate thee. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahai-roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. As I said, that's quite a long chapter to read, but it's a beautiful chapter, isn't it? Wonderful, wonderful picture of what the Holy Spirit of God is doing right now, right now. I want to call attention to a few things. There won't be time to touch on every point. And, of course, I don't even know. I know I'm not capable to comment on every point, but just a few that maybe I've enjoyed and I'd like to share with you, things that have blessed my soul as I've read this chapter. I want to note, first of all, that the servant is an unnamed servant. He's not named. Now, we might speculate and say that it's Eliezer. I've seen commentaries that say that it's Eliezer. But it's unnamed in this chapter. And I believe there's a reason, because this is a time in which the Holy Spirit is not putting himself forward. I believe it's a picture of the Holy Spirit, the servant. And he's not putting himself forward. I know that all around us there are those groups that are making much of the Holy Spirit, but that's not what the Holy Spirit does. John 14, 15, and 16 makes it very clear, those three chapters. He shall not speak of himself. He shall not speak from himself. He shall glorify me, says the Lord Jesus. And I believe that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. May I just say a word of caution? If you come into contact with a group that is making much of the Holy Spirit and not making much of the Lord Jesus, mucha atención. Be very careful, because that is not God's purpose now. The Holy Spirit has come here with a specific purpose, and that is to get a bride for the Lord Jesus and to magnify him, to glorify him. And I just say that, beloved, because I know that you go down the street and you see a sign that says Spirit-filled church and all this sort of thing. And much attention is put on the Holy Spirit. And, oh, he is a divine person. He's equal to the Father, equal to the Son. I don't even like to hear him called the third person of the Trinity. I don't think that that's a, a biblical expression, although I realize that it says Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But God doesn't call him the third person of the Trinity at all. He's equal, co-equal with the Father and the Son. But he has come here to call out a bride for the Lord Jesus. He's been sent with that specific purpose. And so he will always magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. He will always magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. You ask me, do I think it's Eliezer? Yes, I do. I don't know if somebody has a reason to think it wasn't Eliezer. They can tell me that later on. But I do think it is Eliezer. But why does it not say that here? Again, I say because the magnifying the person of Christ, not magnifying the servant here. Well, I want to go down to verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. And this is very interesting, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. Again, I believe that lets us know that the Holy Spirit has all the goods in his hand. Everything is in his hand. But with what purpose? To glorify Christ. To glorify Christ. Do I believe in the Holy Spirit in the way that he can and sometimes does perform miracles? Yes, of course I do. Because everything's been given into his hand. He's a divine person. And it's interesting to read in Acts 13 that he says, "Separate unto me." That's not an influence, is it? That's a person. Separate unto me. They were sent forth by the Holy Spirit with the fellowship of the saints. So I just emphasize that it's one into whom everything's been given into his hands. And you say, well, isn't that true of the Lord Jesus? Yes, it's true. In John 13, the Lord says, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, what did he do? Oh, this is just a little aside. It's so sweet for my soul to read that. If everything was given into your hands, what would you do first? I often ask people that. If everything was given into your hands, what would you do first? Well, there's some things I'd like to straighten out. I'd like to go down to Washington and do this and that. No. It says he took a towel in his hand. The one into whose hands everything had been committed is the one who took a towel and got down and washed the disciples' feet. The connection's there, brethren. You can look at it when you have a chance in John 13, and you'll see that it says very clearly, when Jesus knew that everything was given into his hands, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And then it says, in rising from supper, he took a towel and girded himself. You might say the first act he did after it says that he knew all things were committed into his hands was to wash the disciples' feet. What a Savior we have. What a blessed one. Verse 10 says, he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening. I don't want to be too fanciful about things, brethren, but when my mother died, I got her J&D Translation Bible, and I found a beautiful little poem in there. I wish I had the words of it still. I don't know what I did with the poem. Gave the Bible to my daughter, but there was a little poem in there that talked about the camel who at the evening kneels down. Why? To have its burden lifted off. To have its burden lifted off. And in the morning it kneels down again. For what? To have a new burden put on it for that day. And that little poem of my mother's I don't think she had anything to do with writing it, but she just enjoyed it. But there it was in her Bible. And it said that that is very much the way we ought to be. That at the end of the day, we kneel down and have the Lord lift that burden off that we've had through the day. And then in the morning to kneel down again and have the burden put again upon us that He gives us. And He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's not a hard burden, is it? If He gives it to us, He gives the grace for it too. But it's a wonderful thing. Do we kneel down? Do we kneel down? Song that I used to speak a lot to my conscience was, as you left your bread this morning, did you kneel to pray? Did you kneel to pray? Or do we get out of bed and we rush around doing whatever we have to do and we don't take time to do that? What a day without prayer. It's a miserable day. And at the end of the day, when you look back over the things that have been done during that day, to get down and let the Lord lift that burden off. No wonder we don't sleep sometimes at night, because we're carrying our burdens all night. Remembering about a truck that stopped for an old man. I think it was in Bolivia. Stopped for an old man, and the old man had a big pack on his back. And the truck stopped for him, and he climbed up into the truck. And he sat there with a pack on his back for 10 miles or whatever it was to where the place he was going. And he got down out of the truck and started walking again. He had never taken the pack off his back. You and I do that sometimes, don't we? We get to the end of a day and there's a burden on the back. And we carry that burden all night. What does the Lord say? He says, roll. There's a verse that says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, but I think that can be translated, roll thy burden upon Him. Roll it on Him. He's inviting us to do that. Well, that's an aside in connection with camels. I remarked the other day to somebody that Ruben Ruga had said to us that the worst ride he had ever had in his life was on the back of a camel. He and Jane went to Egypt, and I don't think he thought that was a very good way to ride. But you know, a camel's a wonderful thing if it takes us to the Father's presence. If it takes us to the place where our beloved Savior is, it's a wonderful transportation. It may be bumpy, it may be hard. And I just notice in passing that when she got there, in case we don't get to it before I quit, that it says she sprang off her camel. She sprang off it. I think we're going to be kind of glad to spring off the camel, aren't we? You will, Brother Bill? Yeah. Spring off the camel. Get off it. Be home with our Savior. Well, how wonderful that God works in a way that you and I can't imagine. God works in this young lady's heart. I mean, He put a condition down that not too many people would say, yeah, I'll give you a drink, but I'll also water your camels. How many would do that? Not many. It had to be the work of God in her soul. And that's why He says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. This is God's doing. I say to those who are young people who are concerned about finding a helpmeet or a companion for their life, God is able in that same way to do it for you. Trust Him. Trust Him. This isn't an isolated story. It's a wonderful story. But I can tell you of many instances that I've heard about where God has done a very similar thing. A very similar thing. And you'll praise God for it if you'll wait on Him. Wait on Him. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, He sees this woman going to draw water. What's the first thing that he does? He prays. He prays. He says, O Lord God, verse 12 of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Was it any old pretty girl that he was to take back? No. No, there was a specific one. Don't despise that thought. I recently, when I was in Romania back in the fall, a young lady, a dear Christian young lady there who speaks nice English, she went and got me a book and showed me a book that someone had given her called I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Maybe some of you have seen the book. And she was so interested in that book and so exercised by it that she had translated a good bit of it into Romanian for her fellow young people who don't read English. And the theme of the book is that God knows who it is for you. You don't have to go out shopping. Some people say you have to go shopping. You don't have to go shopping. God knows. And God will bring that person into your life and bring you in touch with them. Don't laugh at that. That's real. It's God's doing. And when you're finished, you'll bless him for it. You'll thank him for it. You'll be able to say, too, I being in the way, the Lord led me. This wasn't a shopping trip on the part of the servant of Abraham. It was not a shopping trip. Now, I just want to notice this, though, that if you read here, in verse 16, God didn't send him a nerd or a klutz. Look what God sent. Verse 16, and the damsel was very fair to look upon. A virgin. There's an exercise in that. I won't say more about it, but there's exercise in that. That isn't very popular today. But it's God's way. It's God's way. Neither had any man known her, had relations with her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. There's nothing wrong. Now hear me carefully about this. There's nothing wrong with having a wife that's pretty. Nothing wrong at all. God made women. And he made them as they are. But that isn't the only qualification, is it? We looked a little bit last night at what an important woman or a great woman is in the sight of God. And there's no mention at all of anything physical in connection with that dear woman. But it's not something that God overlooks. And God is, but remember, fellas, I just say this too. Remember, beauty is an internal thing. As well as external. It's an internal thing as well as external. There are people who are beautiful inside and out. And God had prepared this young lady for Isaac. But Isaac never saw her. That's weird, isn't it? Isn't that weird? Isaac never saw her. He never saw her. He didn't take her out on a date. He didn't do anything other than wait for that wonderful time when she arrived. But he put it in God's hands. And I want to tell you this again. If you put that subject, that matter in God's hands, you will not be sorry. You will not be sorry. I don't know if any of you young people here participate in the YP forum on the email, but there's been some lovely meditations on the part of some of our young people on that subject, and testimonies from some of them as to how the Lord has led them and how he has provided for them. One of the most beautiful that I read was from Tom Dodds. It was just lovely. I know his wife, known her long before he married her. She's from a Newfoundlander. But what a nice testimony he gave as to how the Lord led him. Trust the Lord. Don't think you have to put your hands in it and mess in that subject. Just trust. God does the best for those who leave the choice to him. And I call attention to verse 16 again. God calls attention to the fact that she was very fair. Very fair to look upon. But you know, the New Testament tells us that there is adornment which is outside and there's adornment which is inside. There's an inward beauty that we ought to appreciate. And I say to you who are parents, brethren, teach your children, your young people, teach them to appreciate inward beauty. Teach them to appreciate what is inside that God values in a woman. And we won't go into that today, but it's in the Word of God. It's very clear. You can go in and find it if you're exercised to do that. What is pleasing to the Lord? And God knows how to put that within a person who's very fair, too. And he knows that that's something that not only, it's something God has made to attract a man. But in a right way. In a right way. In a godly way. Well, he recounts that story when he gets to, I just noticed verse 21, after the Lord answered his prayer, he was wondering at her. He was wondering at her. Wondering, how could this be? How could this be that this prayer got answered so quickly and so wonderfully? Can it really be an answer or am I imagining it? Is this a real answer from God? But what did he do? He held his peace. To see. To wit. That means to know. To know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Is this really the Lord prospering me in this mission that I have? Now, please don't tell me this is just cultural. I know that there are differences in culture as to courting and all that sort of thing, but God's principles are not cultural. Am I right? God's principles aren't cultural. God's principles are unchangeable. They're in his Word. Culture's changeable, yes. I remember Brother Yezu Buckton writing a letter to Sue Hadley and asking that the Chatham Assembly pray for wisdom as he picked out a wife for some relative of his. I forget now that he was responsible to pick the wife for this young man, for the husband for the young girl. I don't even remember, but I remember being struck by that. That's very cultural, isn't it? But the Lord is the same Lord, and he can guide that man, and it can turn out to be a happy occasion even in that situation, can it? Now, some of you young people tell me, no, come on. You can't. I wouldn't let anybody else pick out a husband or wife for me. Well, was it really that, or was it God acting through his servant? And I think that's the point here, isn't it? It's God acting through his servant. So there he is wondering. And then as he sees the evidence, he takes out a golden earring of half a shekel weight. Now that's quite an expensive earring. That's not a little tiny thing. That was a big one. And he gave it to her as a token of faith. Two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. And then he asks her, whose daughter are you? He says, is there room there? Can I sleep over at your place? Is there room in your father's house? And she tells who she's connected with. Again, this is marvelous because it's from the very family that Abraham had sent him to. You want to be able to bow down your head and worship the Lord for your marriage and for the one the Lord gives you? Just follow the Lord's guidance and instruction. There's a verse over in Jeremiah that I often meditate on. It isn't, I know, O Lord, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We don't know. We don't know how to direct our steps. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Mr. Darby's translation says intelligence. Don't lean unto your own intelligence. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. No, that only applied in Solomon's day, right? That only applies in Solomon. We act like that sometimes, don't we? We act like we can't trust him. And we only go to him when we get mixed up and we don't know what we're doing. But the Lord says, put me first. Consult me about everything. And I'll direct you. You won't make any mistakes. Now, I know that's hard for some of you young people to listen to. But I'm not going to back up from that because it's God's word. It's what God says. Let him direct you. And you'll bow down and worship when he makes his way known to you. You'll bow down and worship. You'll bow down and worship. And he said, verse 27, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And what a precious statement this is. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. It's a wonderful thing when you have that sense in your soul, isn't it? You do something and you wait on the Lord. And you don't know what way to turn, but the Lord knows. And he leads you. And all you have to do is be in the way that he marks out in his word. And he'll lead you perfectly. Perfectly. There won't be any doubt about it, will there? Well, Laban gets involved and he sees the whole thing that's going on and says in verse 31, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? I have prepared the house and room for the camels. May I just say this, beloved, that I think Gordon makes this point in his little book on courtships. He says that watch how a young lady's family is, and you'll find out a little bit about her. Now, that's not a rule, but it's a good principle. How was the family here? Hospitable, weren't they? Hospitable. Here, come on in. Come in. I've prepared the place. Verse 33, there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And then he goes on and tells what his errand was. Eating wasn't the most important thing. And he describes the, you might say, the blessing that God had brought in the house of Abraham. And tells about his mission. And I want to go down now to verse 49. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. They say, this thing is from the Lord. How can we go against it? It's from the Lord. It's so obviously from the Lord. And I just want to say to you, young people especially that are here this afternoon, if you trust in the Lord, he'll make things so plain that everybody will recognize that it's of the Lord. I don't mean you won't have any opposition or problems because we're still in the flesh and still in a world where everything doesn't proceed exactly as it should. But the thing that strikes me here is that God makes it plain to her relatives that this thing proceeds from the Lord. I just suggest to you, be a little careful if the relatives don't think it proceeds from the Lord. Be a little careful. Be a little careful. Wait on the Lord a little more. The relatives don't think it's from the Lord. Now they say, verse 31, behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her, and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And again, he worships the Lord. Here now is now another step in this whole thing, that now the family's happy about it too. The family's happy about it too. Verse 53 says, the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. Let me just say this in a spiritual sense. The Spirit of God has given us such wonderful things, wonderful treasures that come from the Lord Himself, evidences of what He's going to do for us and what our portion is in Him. Isn't it wonderful to look at them and enjoy them and be occupied with them, some of the things that the Lord has given us, even now, that are part of His, you might say, evidence of what's to come. Well, now he finally eats and drinks. The thing is kind of settled. And they tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he says, send me away unto my master. You know, beloved, I believe this is a desire of the Holy Spirit of God, if we look at it in its typical sense, in connection with the church. The Spirit of God wants to go back and take the bride with him. The Spirit of God, you and I don't want to be here anymore, do we? Over the last few years, I've met different saints that have spent a lot of time here. And if you talk to them, they're not talking about, well, I'd like to build another house or do this or do that. They have that same spirit. Send me away. Send me away. Where are our heart's affections, beloved? Are they here or are they up there with Him in glory? Well, there's those that would hinder. Her brother and her mother said, let her stay a little while, 10 days, you know. At least 10 days, then we'll let her go. Have I an object, Lord, below, which would divide my heart with Thee? Have I a hope, O ever dear, which would defer Thy coming, Lord? From it, my Savior, set me free to look and long and wait for Thee. He says, don't hinder me. The Lord's prospered me. Don't hinder me. Send me away that I may go to my master. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And they said, we'll call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I know our time's just about gone, but I just want to share a little story with you quickly. A lot of you perhaps know Brother Bill Bothwell that's with the Lord now, but he was in Port Orange, Florida. Before that, he was in Woodbridge, New Jersey. I don't know how many of you know it, but Bill was working with my father-in-law, Guilford Christensen, in the American Cyanamid years ago, when he lived in New Jersey. And he wasn't a Christian at that time. And they were reading through the scriptures at lunchtime together. And they came to chapter 24. And Brother Guilford read to him this scripture, wilt thou go with this man? And Bill says, I will go. I will go. You know how Bill was so, those of you who know him, how determined he was when he said something. He said, I will go. And he received the Lord at that moment as his Savior, and took the decision to go with that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if there's somebody here this afternoon that hasn't yet said, I will go with that man, I just plead with you. Will you go with him? Say it, will you? I will go. I will go. Brother Bill is there now. Just the last couple of thoughts. Verse 63. Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. Oh, it's interesting, isn't it? Who'd they follow? Where were they going? Across a desert. It was across a desert. This world is a wilderness wide. We have nothing to seek or to choose. But there's a man that we can follow. And where is he leading us? The Holy Ghost is leading home to the Lamb, his bride. And he took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahai-Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels are coming. Oh, brethren, that meant something to him. When he saw those camels coming, he meant something to him. It says he went out to meet them. He went out to meet them. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Brethren, there's one of these days that we're going to see the Lord Jesus. And I believe we're going to jump off these camels. We're going to jump off these camels. I think if you had asked Brother Reuben, how did you get off the camel when you got to where you're at the end of your little ride over there in Egypt, I think he would have said he sprang off the camel. He jumped off it. Glad to get off it. It was a useful device to take him there, but it's glad to get off. And I think we're going to be glad to get off our camels, aren't we? I'm going to be. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. I just mentioned, too, at the end of verse 65, I skipped it. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the fields to meet us? The very first sight of that man. The very first sight of the one that was to be her lifelong companion. What does she do? She veils herself in his presence. I don't want to make a too big a deal of that, but when my daughters were asking, Mom, why is it that you want us to wear our covering when we come into the meeting room? And I kind of thought, well, I don't really have a scripture for that. But Mom says Rebekah covered herself when she came into the presence of Isaac. I said, that's enough for me. I just leave that with you for your own meditation and thought. To be in the presence of that blessed one. The servant told Isaac all things that he had done. I've meditated on that a little. You ever thought of what that'll be while the Holy Spirit reviews with the Lord Jesus everything that he's done? All the ways that he's led us. Wonderful. Wonderful ways. Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. He loved her. You leave that choice to God, dear young people. Now, we're not talking in a typical way. You leave that choice to God. You'll have that joy, too. And it'll be real. You say, how could he love her? He never met her before. Never saw her in his life. If you leave the choice to God, he'll never make a mistake, will he? I'm not talking about culture now, what way the Lord does it. But just let the Lord do it. And he'll do it right.